If you would have told me 15 years ago that I would have four sons, I would have thought you were crazy. Four boys the Lord gave us, rather unexpectedly at times. But we have four. We have a fun household. We have a lot of creativity, a lot of activity, noise. We always have fun in our house, except for when tensions get a little high in the house. But one of the things I enjoy as a dad is sometimes people will come up and they say, you know what, your boys look exactly like you. And I go, oh, I'm sorry, boys, you're stuck with me on this. But I like to have fun with that. When we're at home, I have all kinds of, in my dry humor, all kinds of silly sayings and nicknames, and I do silly things. I'm always trying to keep the household, lively, because that's just who I am. You guys know that. I keep the church lively. And, sometimes I'll hear the boys say something that I say, some weird, silly thing, or do some weird, silly thing. Last night, we got to embarrass Titus so bad. We were driving down the road, and it wasn't a hot evening, so I had the windows down and started to think, how could we get Titus embarrassed? He was sitting in the back seat, and we stopped at a stoplight, and all the cars looked around, had their windows up. No one could hear anything, so I was like, let's start barking like a dog. And so I start barking really loud, woof, woof, woof. And Tate is in the other front seat, and he's got his window down. He's barking, woof, woof, woof. He's like outside. So the two of us are having fun, and Titus literally is in the back seat scooching down like, please don't anybody see me. Please don't anyone see me. But Tate, it could be any one of the boys. They'll start acting like I do and sounding like I do. And as a dad, I count that as a real joy, a lot of fun, as long as it's the good qualities that they mimic and not sometimes the bad ones they see in me. But a dad is honored when the sons look like him and act like him and talk like him. Our Heavenly Father is honored when we look like and act like and talk like him, is he not? In fact, it's the goal that the Holy Spirit has in our lives is to transform us to look more like our Heavenly Father, to act like him, to have the character of him. You probably saw in your bulletins today that one area we're going to talk about with that is an area of giving. It could be all areas of our lives that the Father wants us to look like him, but this is one area, and we don't talk about this very often, only once or twice a year, about giving, but it is something that we need to think about, and here's why. Our Heavenly Father is a giver. Who made this world and all of the beauty that we enjoy in it? You can answer. God. Yes, Genesis 1 and 2. He created everything. Now, who gives us all that we have, all the provision, all the resources, energy, time, finances? Who gave us all of that? God. 1 Timothy 6:17 tells us that. So he owns it, right? He gave it to us and he can take it away. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Now, how about this one? When the world was lost in sin and far from God, we could not fix our own problem. Who did something about it, us or God? God. We couldn't fix our own problem. And what was his solution? He sent his son, Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Do you hear the theme that our Father gives, 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 gives? That's who he is. It's part of his nature. It's part of his character. Our Father is a giver. And he is honored when we give because we look like our Father. Now, there's a transforming work that he does in us, as I said, through the Holy Spirit, to make us more and more conformed to his image. And in growing in our giving is one area that the Holy Spirit is interested to change us, to transform us. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says this: see that you also excel in this grace of giving. In other words, this is an area that we need to grow in. This is an area we all, as followers of Christ, need to get better and better at, to excel in the grace of giving, in the character of giving, in this being a distinctive of our lives. Excel in the grace of giving. And I want to look at that today in terms of three parts. If this was a journey that we would be on as a Christian, these aren't mutually exclusive to one another, but it kind of follows a sequence. The first area I want to look at today is in the area of obedience, that we would grow in our obedience in giving, then we would grow in our generosity in giving, and then we would grow as a legacy in giving. Okay, you got those three? Obedience, moving to generosity, moving to legacy. Let's talk about this area of obedience. You know, giving is commanded in the Bible. We see the example of giving, and we see it commanded. Think about the concept all the way back to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 4, we have Adam and Eve's kids, the two sons that are mentioned there, Cain and Abel. And it talks about the crops. It talks about the animals that they were raising and producing, and that they both brought offerings to the Lord. Now, Abel's was of his first fruits. It was a better, fuller offering than Cain's, and that led to some trouble. But they had the concept right there at the very beginning to give offerings to the Lord, to worship him. In Genesis chapter 14, we see a priest named Melchizedek coming to Abraham, and he gives a blessing that the Lord had told him to say to Abraham. And Abraham gets this message, and he's just floored by it. And in response to God, as worship to God, he gives Melchizedek, this priest, 10% of everything that he owned. Move forward into Leviticus 27. This is now where God is giving the law to the people of Israel, his people. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give a tenth of all that you earn and produce. Give it to the Lord as an offering. And then fast forwarding to the end of the Old Testament, when the people of God were out of alignment with that command in Leviticus 27, God says, you are in disobedience to me. You are robbing me. Because you're not giving. This was an expectation God had on his people. And what does that mean that they were robbing God? Imagine that you had, let's say with one of my sons, I gave him $10 in order to buy something that they needed, and it only cost $9. So I gave them 10, it cost 9, and they never gave me my dollar back. I'd say, hey, where's my money? It's mine, it's not yours. And that's how God feels about the things that he's given us. He says, use this to provide, and I want you to worship me by giving me back what I've asked of you. Now, that's the Old Testament. Some people say, well, okay, there's an Old Testament law on this, but we don't live under those days. We live in New Testament days. So do we still need to give to the Lord at a rate, as it says here in Leviticus 27, of a tenth, a 10%? And by the way, the word tithe actually means a tenth. Do we need to give to the Lord a tithe? Well, in the New Testament, no percentage is either reaffirmed nor canceled. There's no talk of that in the New Testament. But if we want to talk about New Testament standards, it actually goes a little farther and beyond the law. We look over in 2 Corinthians 8:9. There's a verse here that actually Paul is talking about giving, and he says the standard is Christ. He says, though he was rich, Jesus, think about him in heaven, rich with all the resources of heaven and the privileges, yet for your sake he became poor. He became human and became obedient unto death and sacrificed for you, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And he says, listen, this is the standard by which to give. And if Jesus sacrificed it all and gave it all, then really that blows the law out of the water. We're not necessarily tied to a law, but the 10% really becomes just a guideline, a standard to say, okay, well, then I need to really consider not the question, how much do I have to give and get by with, but how much can I give and honor the Lord with? You see the difference? If we're not bound by law, it's not going to be necessarily in our favor. It's going to actually be we give everything, which I should say is in our favor, because then we look a whole lot more like our God. But that's just a little bit of a background to this idea of giving. And Lisette and I have tithed our whole life. We've always decided to say we will faithfully give 10%. And we did that when we were before we met, and even when we were dating and had small incomes, and then when we got married and had two nickels to rub together, and I was in seminary and we were paying those bills, and then when we had young kids, we decided we were going to do this and make this a priority because we want to honor the Lord. We know, in fact, we have this conviction that He could do more with the 90%. Than we could do on our own with the 100%. Does that make sense? Because there's something about it when you stay faithful and you stay committed, that you're going to squeeze the last little bits of your money. You're going to budget. You're going to plan. You're going to be strategic. And you pray, and somehow God makes it all work. Does that make sense? God will provide. We will be faithful. That was the mentality we have operated by our whole lives. And it hasn't always been easy. But the statistics say, and this is across multiple sources, I read at least four or five different sources that said this, the average American Christian gives only 2.5% to the Lord in some sort of charity. 2.5% is not a tithe, it's a quarter of a tithe, and it doesn't probably look like what the Father would have us to look like as we resemble Him. It's probably due to how we in America, although we have the most money of any country in the world, love to spend the most money in the world. And things are expensive, but we also have a standard of living we like to keep, and we get ourselves into debt, and there's all kinds of problems with that. But it's a heart problem, too. It's a heart problem when we can't give to the Lord because we say, well, I need this. Or maybe I've made mistakes that have got me here. Well, then we need to think about how do we get out of those mistakes and how do we get a little more freedom so that we can honor the Lord with what He gave us. I would imagine in our church, I'm blissfully unaware of who gives what, so I'm not preaching to anybody in particular today. All I know is what we give. I know there are people who give way above and beyond here in this church, and that's awesome. I imagine if statistics are true, then there's people who give probably very little to nothing, and there's people all in between. I have no idea what you give, and I want to really let the Lord speak to you about that today. But instead of you hearing from me, because sometimes people go, oh, that's just the pastor, and of course he's going to say this, I want you to hear from somebody in our congregation who's passionate about this issue, and the Lord has taught him some things. And so, Roger, I want to ask you to come on up. Roger Drake is a member here at our church, coming about 10 years, I think, right, to Emmanuel, and met the Lord 10 years ago. And you've had a journey on this, right? You didn't grow up in church, and you didn't have this pattern in your life until about 10 years ago. And tell us, Roger, what was your journey like becoming a Christian and figuring out what they're talking about, hey, give to the Lord?
Well, good morning. I was really excited to come into the house of the Lord today, and there is no doubt in my mind that the Holy Spirit is present. The words I'm going to share, I want to be honoring to our Lord and Savior. And to my church family, I want you to receive what I say with warmth and gentleness. So, quite frankly, when I came to Christ, over 9 years ago, I didn't know where that was going to lead me. As some of you know, maybe not all of you know, I'm married to the pretty lady in the fourth pew with a flowered blue top.
her name's Amy. You weren't going to embarrass her today.
No, but I'm going to be a good boy, Pastor.
All right, okay, good.
So,
all right.
I have tendency to do that sometimes by accident. But when I first came to Christ, I can remember sitting here in the sanctuary and the offering plate would come and, you know, sometimes I would just pass it on and some days I would throw $5 in and some days I would throw $10 in and some days I'd throw $20 in and, man, I'm doing good, you know, I'm doing good. But some friends of mine taught us about obedience to the Lord and Savior and how to give and quite frankly, I wasn't real excited about that. That's a lot of money, I thought. And we prayed about it, and we prayed about it, and the funniest thing happened. when Amy and I tithed properly, we ended up with more than what we needed. Hear what I'm telling you, folks. I didn't want to do it. There's one thing I'm good at, not very many, but one thing I'm good at is mathematics, and I can multiply, add, divide, and subtract. I said, that is a lot of money. But as I further studied and learned about my obedience to God, I learned that it wasn't mine. And he gets his first. And the funny thing happened over the last 5 to 6, 7 years, I don't even know what the amount is. Because I don't see it to the end of the year where I get a printout. But it doesn't even matter because it's not mine or Amy's. We're very thankful for what the Lord has provided. And quite frankly, what we have to do is put our faith in the Lord God Almighty and take the step to give properly. There's going to be days and weeks that go by that maybe you can't. And God understands these things. But once you do it and show your obedience to the Lord and Savior, it becomes easier. I want to share a couple quick thoughts here. The New Testament talks about the importance and benefits of giving. We are able to give as we are able. Sometimes that means not being able to give 10%. Sometimes that may mean going less. It all depends on the ability of the Christian and the needs of the body of Christ. We should diligently pray and seek God's wisdom in the matter of giving. Above all tithes and offerings should be given with purity and the intent of worship to God and service to the body of Christ. It says in Corinthians, each man shall give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Think about this one thought, folks. If everybody gave more than 2.5%, okay, we wouldn't have to have budgets in the house of God. We would be able to fund all of our ministries, okay, and in turn bring a lot more people to Christ.
All right. I love it. Thank you, Roger. I love how you talked about the amount is between you and the Lord.
That's right.
Can I just ask you, I mean, you didn't prepare for this. This is off the script here. How do you and Amy, just practically, how do you figure out how much you should give? Don't tell me the percentage. Don't tell us all that. But what's the process you go through in order to set that?
Well, quite honestly, just to let you know, Amy said don't embarrass her, but I can't help myself. Amy runs the finances in our home. Amy knows what she needs to do. My job is to make sure it's there to do it. We pray about it, and it's just how it works out. It's just we put our faith and want to show our obedience to Christ.
And it just comes out.
It just comes out. There's no hesitation. Well, we'll get that next week. You know, there's never any of that. That's first. It's always first, and we'll always be first.
Yeah, and you feel that it's a matter of worship in obedience to the Lord.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, awesome. What last piece of advice would you give to someone who's sitting here going, you know, I'm struggling in this area, I've heard about this, I need to take some steps of obedience. What would you say?
I would say it's real simple, folks. Put your faith in your Lord and Savior, okay? Step over the line and give graciously. It's for the Lord's work.
Awesome. Thank you, Roger. Guys, thank him for his sharing. Yeah, it's real practical. It's a rubber meets the road kind of thing. Do I provide or does God provide? And if he's asking me, if I sense what he's saying, then I need to trust and obey. And that's that way in all areas of life. So thank you, Roger, for sharing about that. You may not have a lot of excess. You may have to budget and sacrifice and things like that, but it can work. Now, in order to be able to do this, and sometimes more conveniently, more accessibly, we have, as a church, had conversations as a leadership. How can we kind of give another alternative to people of how to give? Because many do online banking, and they, if you're traveling and you're away, it's hard to give when you're not here. So we have come together to launch an online giving platform that we want to share with you today. So Pastor Kyle is going to come. You're going to hear from more than just me today. This is good. And I will keep my parts very short because of these guys. So Kyle, tell us about that.
Sure. If you're wondering why we should have an online giving option, I want to share with you something you probably already know and then connect it with something you might not yet realize. What you already know is that many people carry very little or no cash at all. And most people do not carry checkbooks anymore. Now, you might say, oh, Kyle, you're right, I do know that. I have $5 on me right now, and I couldn't even tell you where my checkbook is. And I'm not even concerned. Let me connect that with something you might not yet realize. For organizations that are dependent on checks and cash, they have no way to be financially supported through debit card transactions or electronic checking transfers. That's not good news. In fact, if you think about churches, they are dependent on their people having checks or cash on them one particular hour of the whole week in a time and place where people don't generally carry cash or checks. When churches realize this, they say, we might need to have an online giving option. They can't just create that themselves. They need to work through another company that works with banks and credit card companies and so forth. And that's where Tithely comes in. We have a little, there we are. Tithely is a company that helps churches with their online giving formats. This is not a fly-by-night organization. No one knocked on our door and said, hey, can you do this? This is a company that has partnered with the National Office of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We first heard about them a while back through the National Office. They're encouraging the Alliance churches to have an online giving option. And through that partnership, they offer rates lower than other companies that do the same thing. Let me show you how this can work for you. You can give online through two different ways. There's our church website, and there's a church app. I'm sorry, not a church app, a Tithely app. But first thing you do is you go to our church website, where this is a shrunken screen, so it looks a little bit different. But we have a give button in the upper right-hand corner of the screen. Here, you see it down on this little drop-down menu. You can click on that, and then you enter into our give page, where you'll see a big green button on it right there. You can click give online. That's awesome, Tate. And then when you click on that, you will see a screen eventually pop up here. We have options for give to, if you can click on that real quick. You will see the same options that you have on your offering envelopes. You can add a gift to that as well, so you can support two different funds under one transaction there. If you can close that out real quick. Thank you. You'll notice here it says cover card processing fees. When you use your debit card or your credit card at a place of business, that place of business has to pay a processing fee to that credit card company, Visa, MasterCard, or so. It's a very small fee, so businesses don't mind paying it. We don't mind paying it either, but if you don't mind paying it, you can click on that option there to take care of that. You can also set up automatic giving. You can give every week, every month, first and the 15th, or every other week on there. And then you can even select the day of the week that you want to have that transferred from your bank account or your, from your bank account. There's also, if you can scroll up there, those three dots and those three lines there, that's where you can look at your account, your recent giving, setting up reoccurring gifts, and the different ways you can pay through your debit card or through your checking account. And all those options there. You can also do the same exact thing on your smartphone. If you have an iPhone or you have an Android, you can go into your App Store or whatever Android calls it and punch in Tithely into the search option. You will see their logo, their app pop up there, and you can do the same exact thing with the same exact screen. The app will take you to their website and makes it very easy. Now, you might ask, who are we doing this for? or who are we asking to do this? I should mention this is an additional option to giving. It's additional, so it's not taking the place of our offering time. It's not, you know, where we give out our offering and everyone pulls out their smartphones and gives. It's another way of doing it. If you want to give in church, you give in church. Also, it's an additional option, which means it's optional to do this. If you don't want to do this, if you can't do this, if you haven't understood a single word I said from the moment I started talking, you don't have to do this. This is for those who would find this a more convenient option, for those who do just about everything else through online transactions or through their debit cards or checking transfers and all that stuff. That's who it's there for. It's there for them. It's there for if you miss a week in church or if you're on vacation. I know we have some snowbirds here who just take off for weeks or months at a time. It's a perfect option through that way. Our governing board and our elder board highly approve this because it helps us offer giving opportunities that meets the time and place that we live in. And also, churches will see a rise in giving because they're offering ways to give that match the way that people do their personal finances.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. One last thing to connect the dots with that is that in your bulletins, there is a half-page flyer that has some specific instructions, some questions on the back that you may have about it that would help you understand it a little bit better. If you know how to make online accounts with anything else, this is very intuitive and you would figure it out. It's super easy. My wife and I figured it out in about the first 30 seconds and boom, we were able to give online. We had some guinea pigs that tried it out. We were one of them. It's not bad. So that's just to help us in this area of obedience to give. If that would be an option for you to make it easier, then take that. Let's move on to the next section, though. We've gone a while here on this obedience section. Let's move to the idea of generosity. What do we mean by generosity? Obviously, obedience is generosity, but this is kind of where we think about going above and beyond what's required. This is where the Lord shows us a need, and we say, okay, I'll help this person. I want to give to that organization. I want to give to missions or to a missions trip or some project that comes up, and I just want to be a generous person. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you see 2 Corinthians is a big book on giving. The next chapter over from 8, so this is chapter 9, says this, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart," this is what Roger actually said too, "not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." That's 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. God wants us to begin to think about how to invest in people around us, how to give to needs that are around us, how to go above and beyond cheerfully to those who are around us. Now, I have a question brought to me sometimes as a pastor. What's the difference between the obedience side and this generosity side? And does one count for the other? And the short answer to that is only you can know how that all should work and how it should be figured out. But I'll tell you probably from my own understanding of this, I would say that if you have in mind that your target is the 10% tithe, and then all other things would be on top of that, that you would do just that. You would give, as Malachi 3 says, give to the storehouse of God. Don't neglect the storehouse, but then give offerings above that. In the Old Testament, they had tithes and they had offerings, and they were separate. And so that's the way we look at things in our household. We look at our Great Commission Fund is on top of the tithe. We look at giving to other needs as on top of the tithe, rather than subtracting it out of the tithe. Does that make sense? So you have to wrestle with that and figure that out, but that's the guidance I would give. And let me make this very practical for you, because our budget at our church is based on, our budget is based on your obedient giving, your faithful giving to the church. We set a budget yearly, and Roger, I understand what you meant. We'll always have a budget, even if we have too much money. That'd be a wonderful problem to have, because we'll always want to be responsible and be good stewards of what God gives us. We want to plan for every dollar before it ever comes in. But that goes to things like paying off our mortgage, keeping the utilities on, paying staff salaries, helping district church plants, helping the El Camino Church, outreach, all kinds of ministries within our church. Our annual regular budget covers those things. And you can read about it in our annual report. I won't bore you with all of that today. But I do want to point out in our bulletin, this is a bad week to be pointing this out because it's blank this week if you check. We have a section in here of our general fund, what last week was, and then the year to date. And it's blank because our assistant treasurer is on vacation this week and didn't get to process all the numbers and give them to us. But that's okay. You can know to look at this all the other weeks of the year. This is kind of a new box that we put in on the bulletin starting this early in this year. But right now, if you were to look at year-to-date, we're only about $5,000 or $6,000 behind the general budget giving, which is great news. However, we've had several five-Sunday months, and that kind of boosts up those months. The trend is that we're lagging a bit behind, but we need to average around $8,200 per week to stay on target with things. If our trend continues in summertime, often the giving is a little bit lower because of people traveling, but maybe our online giving will smooth that out this year. If we lag behind, we will have to look at how to cut some things, and our governing board just had a lengthy conversation about that this past Wednesday night. So just let you know, in years past, there was fluff in our budget because we had pastors who were transitioning, and we didn't pay full years of things that we budgeted for, and there were some projects that were like, well, if we get to this, this will be great, but if we don't, it's not essential. We had wiggle room in the past. As budgets have been increasing for ministries and salaries and things like that, and we have our pastoral team in place for now, it's full. And so if we don't meet this budget, we're going to have to figure out what we do to get around it. But just to keep you in mind, that's a way you can track how we're doing as a church. Look at these numbers each week and say, all right, are we on target? Are we not on target? And the reason I bring that up is because of that question when people say, well, do we take away from our tithe in order to get to these other things? And I would simply say, when you choose to do that, it's taking away from what we budget and plan for. And so I would encourage you to think about separating those two things. When you hear about opportunities to give, like in a couple of weeks, you're going to hear about some building improvements we're going to do down in our bottom floor with our nursery and our youth room. You're going to hear some ideas about that and say, hey, you're encouraged to give. We have a fund here. And I would say that's great if you want to give to it. But think about maybe not subtracting it away from what you normally give to the everyday budget. We need to be a people, though, who are generous, who when God points a need out to us, we're able to move. We're able to go toward it with flexibility, with passion. And you know what happens when you can give like that? I've been on the receiving end of people giving generously, and I've been on the giving end of it. It's fun. Because you get to look at stuff like, this isn't really mine. And I just get to shuffle it around where God wants me to. And when you get to see that happen, it's like, yes, we can bless people. We can invest in people. We can see things happen for the kingdom of God. And I would just encourage you, move toward generosity. But we'll go to our next section. We've covered obedience. We've talked about briefly for generosity. Now I want to talk about this idea of legacy. That there is a point in time where God has resourced us and given us things, and we are stewards of it. We never own it. Whatever you have, folks, we never own it. We're just managers of it. And God says, okay, I want you to make a long-lasting impact with what I gave you. I want you to look at how it doesn't just affect the here and now. It's not just about your provision. It's about what my kingdom is and where things should go down the road. Legacy is when you get to be part of God advancing his kingdom beyond you and your area and your world. I love thinking about this because eternity is a long time, folks. What we have here now, day to day, is quick and it's fleeting. And what we spend, it's like you spend it, it's gone, and then you need the next thing the next day. And that gets like the kind of the treadmill. This is the kind of idea in legacy that picks your eyes up off that and says, what does God want to do on the grand scale? Where would he want me to make an impact? I want to tell you the story of two different people two different really households in our church, couples, who passed away in 2015. You all, if you've been around our church for a couple years, you would know these names. I'll tell them to you. I'm going to tell one story, and I'll have someone else tell the other story. In the fall of 2015, within 3 months of each other, Don and Joyce Bachman passed away, and Paul and Katie Kuhn passed away. Husband and wife, both couples, and all four of them within 3 months. It was really kind of a difficult time for our church. A lot of grieving and just saying goodbye to so many people that we loved and valued here at our church. But what we didn't know was that they had made plans for their legacy. And I'll tell you the story about Don and Joyce Bachman. They had been at our church, from what I understand, for about, I think, 6 years before they passed away. Maybe that's incorrect. I can't remember the exact dates they came. But they got to know our church family. They loved well, and they were loved. And they served and got involved, and they became really passionate about missions here. And they had written into their will to give a percentage of their estate to the Great Commission Fund. The Great Commission Fund is what keeps our missionaries on the field overseas through the Christian Missionary Alliance. The Great Commission is the command Christ gave us to go and make disciples of all nations. So we named our fund after that, to keep our missionaries there. And I got a call, actually a letter in the mail, and then a call about 2 months ago from their family saying, hey, the will has been executed here, and the church is due to receive some funds from this. And I was like, I didn't even know about it. So it came out of the blue a year and a half after they passed away. And it's for a good amount. And they wanted it to go to the Great Commission Fund. So I talked to the two of their daughters, and just they were excited to know that this is where it was going to go. We clarified some things, and we received a check for $18,351. That we were able to turn and give to the Great Commission Fund, and it went to our national office, and that'll go to keep, in part, to keep one missionary couple on the field for another year, and keep things going and advance the gospel. And who knows in heaven how many people that will affect for all of eternity. And that's a legacy, folks. That's a story of a legacy. It's not about the amount. It's about their vision. To say that we were obedient and faithful through our lives, we were generous, and now even in our death, we want to leave a legacy. To tell you the other story, I'm going to invite Dave Michaels up. He was good friends with Paul and Katie Kuhn. Who remembers Paul and Katie? Yeah. Who remembers Don and Joyce? I mean, these are people that we loved, folks. These are great stories, And Paul and Katie didn't have as much means as the Bachmans did. Neither family was extremely wealthy, but the Kuhns didn't have much. Dave, tell us about your journey with them, your friendship with them, and then what happened.
Well, as much as I hate always being up here, talking about Paul and Katie Kuhn is something I will do the rest of my life.
Yeah, hey, the head elder has to always be, you know, bearer of bad news. Today is the bearer of good news, right? So this is a good thing, right?
Let me tell you just a short story on how they lived their life when it comes to giving and tithing. We all know that when they got to the point that they had to sell their home and move out of their home, then they had to find a place to live. And so then they look for the apartment to live in some apartments. And when they got there, they found out that the rent of their apartment that they lived in was based on how much income they made. And as Pastor Steve said, they didn't have a whole lot. So Janice and I was asked to come help them with a budget and see if they can make all this work. So as you know, when you get into some people's finances, you get into close places. So we went and obviously figured out how much in the fixed incomes that they had to come in. And then we tried to figure out their expenses. So we knew that the rent was based on what they made, but they had their insurances, life insurances, car insurance, and such. And then we also found out that they had some debts that they had. They had about five different areas that I don't want to go into. So we figured out, well, I was able to get all their debt consolidated. And if my memory serves me right, we had a seven-year plan that was automatically coming out of their funds to pay back this debt, which was something Paul definitely wanted to have done before he passed away. So we're trying to do this budget. And like I say, show me your checkbook. Where's the rest of your money go? So obviously, like you say, if we know Paul and Katie, they like to give. And they gave to the church, and they gave to several other organizations that they wanted to give to. So Janice and I went home and tried to put this all together. It's not going to work. I mean, how can you do this? So to make a long story short, we ended up going back to Paul and Katie, and we're saying, in order for you to make this work, you're going to have to stop giving to some of your charities. Well, Katie didn't want to hear that. So to make numbers work, she was willing to give up all the outside charities, but she was not willing to give up her money to this church. So we now let's fast forward a little bit. So they were getting close to their end, and they wanted us to help them with wills. Well, Janice and I can't write wills. We're not attorneys. So I was able to ask a friend if he would do it pro bono, which he agreed to do. So then we got with them and we did the will. Well, one of Paul's stipulations in that will was, before anybody else gets anything, the church is going, and more importantly, God is going to get his 10% of whatever is left. So now you say, okay, with their faithfulness, with their obedience, how were they blessed? Let me tell you how God blessed them. First of all, to buy food, to buy fuel for the car. Many people sitting in front of me was the reason they were able to do that. We have the youth giant carts. There were several people in this church, $25, $50, whatever. What you don't realize is that's how Paul and Katie made it. Because of their faithfulness to the church, you provided. It didn't have to be counted as income for their rent, but you provided food and gas for them. And that, we need to thank you. The other thing was their debt. Like I said, if I remember, it was on a seven-year plan. Paul and Katie was faithful in getting that debt paid. But towards the end, how did God bless them? When they got close to the end, somebody paid the rest of their debt off before they passed away. So then now we get to the end. Paul and Katie both pass away. What's their legacy? Because of the will that we helped them set, they gave 10% of what was left before it went to their heirs and after everything else was paid. And the church received a check for over $2,500. For Paul and Katie, that's a lot of money. But because of their faithfulness, they are a prime example of what Pastor Steve just preached on today, that if we are faithful to God, God doesn't promise that we're going to get rich. But God does promise, in like Roger's testimony, that he will take care of us. And in the end, Paul and Katie was still able to give back to the church, even after they passed away, because of their obedience and their faithfulness. I truly, with all my heart, believe God blessed them in this final act that they were able to do, even once they were gone.
Yeah. Let's praise the Lord. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, Jesus taught it's not about the amount. It's about the sacrifice. I think that $2,500 was precious in the sight of the Lord when they gave it. Folks, I was humbled to get that phone call from their daughter, Carol, who through tears explained how excited their mom and dad would be to know that $2,500 went to the church. That's the legacy. It's not about the amount. It's about that was their heart. They were obedient and generous, and God used it to be able to tell the story here today and to do who knows what with the $2,500. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. God honors it. God is honored. Think about the Father who's a giver, who loves when there's stories about giving. Jesus gave it all obediently. It says in Philippians chapter 2, he became obedient even unto death. He was willing to give his life. He gave generously to us and gives everything that we have, richly provided, 1 Timothy 6 says, for our enjoyment. And oh, there's a legacy of the Father's giving to us that will go on for eternity, because it will go on and on and on. And are we going to be our own providers in eternity? We're not now, and we're not going to be then. It's still going to be the Father giving to his people forever. Talk about a legacy. This is God's story, and this is our story. We are a people who give. So I don't know where you are today on these three words. Are you working toward obedience to coming in line with what he would ask of you to do? Whatever number that is, whatever target that is, do you know your target? Have you talked to him about it? Have you listened? And are you moving toward it? If it's generosity, are you willing to hold your things loosely, not with a tight hand, but open-handed, so that God can move it wherever he wants to move it? And legacy, have you thought about what impact he would want you to make? What glory he wants you to give to the Father, whether in life or in death? The scripture had said, see to it that you excel in the grace of giving. Let's let that be our challenge for the day. Let's pray.